morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here speaking of the arts. We're going to hear just a little bit from the Umbrella Hat Theater Company. And right now, I would like to welcome the one and only Bill Hutchison. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and it's Animal Friday. It's the first Friday of the month.
It is today.
It is today indeed. 7th of August. Welcome.
Here we are. Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Thank you once again for having me on.
So you have at the animal shelter something called a big brown dog bonanza.
A big brown dog bonanza. So if you live here, as I'm sure you do, listeners within the sound of our voice, you have seen what we call the New Mexico brown dog. And to clarify, the New Mexico brown dog, it's not always a brown dog. It can be black. It can be a whole variety of colors. But the New Mexico brown dog are those big dogs, those
They're
big mixed breed dogs.
A brown dog that's not brown? Why?
Well, you know, it's like a King Charles Spaniel. They're not really King Charles, but it's in the name. So the New Mexico brown dog is, that's sort of what we use as our iconic representation of that big, sort of wonderful dog, but whose size becomes a certain liability and whose mixed breedness makes it perhaps not the most adorable or cutest animal on the planet.
But unless you love it.
Unless you love it. And that's exactly the point. We love big brown dogs, whether they're black or brown, or white and black and brown, or gray and pink and whatever it is. But
it's not that you love them because they're cute. It's that they're cute because you love them.
That is absolutely it. And when you look around Santa Fe and see some of the strange looking couples among whom I count myself, you see that is indeed the case for our human counterparts
You're
as well.
Cute.
Oh, thank you. We're both looking young and attractive this morning.
Speak for yourself. The big brown dogs, they're all part chow, right?
They're all part a whole bunch of things. If you did a genetic breakdown, you'd probably find a little bit of chow, maybe some Rottweiler, some German Shepherd, maybe some Mastiff breeds, maybe a little Pit Bull in there. A whole crazy recipe of different breeds. And if you walk through our shelter any given day, you'll find 7, 8 out of 10 dogs are these big brown dogs. And they really get the short end of the stick. If your little chihuahua...
You mean when you throw the stick and they catch it,
no,
they bring it back by the short end?
In the literal sense, they can usually take the long end as well as carry a whole half cord of firewood on their back because they're enormous and will do anything for you. But they really do not... They're just sort of the marginalized dog. Your chihuahua behaves. Your little cute terrier behaves. You pat them on the head. You tell them not to do it again. It's not that big a deal. Misbehaves, rather. But your big giant dog, your big rambunctious 45-pound, 6-month-old puppy, he knocks your kid over, and often we find them surrendered to the shelter. And their outcomes are among the worst for animals. So we're really doing our best to get them in and get them spayed and neutered. We have an anonymous donor who came to us and wanted to do something for these dogs. So here's the program. The shelter is going to spay and neuter all of these big, over 40-pound dogs, or dogs who plan to grow up to be over 40 pounds, mixed breed, big old, lunky, teddy bear, lovable dogs. We'll spay or neuter them for free, and we will pay the owners $10 to do it. That's the deal that the donor has made with us.
Gas money.
Gas money, exactly. It's gas money, and it's a snack on the way home. Not only is there nothing to lose, there is something to be gained.
That's amazing.
It's going to be, I'm hoping it really makes a difference for these dogs. They're really, if you've met these dogs, and all of us either have one of these dogs or a couple or have friends who have them, and you know they're kind of, they're lovable, they're wonderful, they're goofy, they're kind of clumsy, they're a little dorky.
It makes you want to break into song.
It absolutely does.
Where's Robert?
He would know a song, I am certain. We'll have to ask him when he gets here. But they need help, and so this program is going to be hopefully the thing that we can start, really start addressing the New Mexico brown dog issue. They're great dogs, but there's too many of them. They're breeding unchecked, and they're really, they just don't get the lives they deserve. So this is a movement toward giving these dogs, mixed breeds, nothing recognizable, but just sweet as heck, the life they deserve to have.
So basically it's trying to prevent more of them being born only to suffer a life, you know, in the animal shelter, possible early death, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. They take the hard thing is, you know, a cute little dog, it tends to kennel well at the animal shelter while it's waiting for a home, but it doesn't wait very long. You put a cute little dog into our adoption kennels, and it'll be gone within hours or days or at the most a few weeks.
You mean I could bring Milk and Honey and Horatio in and somebody would want them?
In a hot second.
Really? Not
only are they cute as hell, they're reasonably well behaved, but these big brown dogs, they take 3, 4, 5 times as long to find a home, and they tend not to kennel quite as well. It's really, really hard on them to be in the shelter, and they can be there for months at a time, and they're the hardest to transfer to other shelters. They're the hardest to find homes for. So getting in front of the issue with spay and neuter is going to be the way that we hope we can knock it out. They're really great dogs, and there's no shortage of them, so preventing a few from being born is A-OK in my book. The ones that are out there already need all the help they can get.
So if somebody has a big brown dog and they want to have it spayed or neutered and bring home their 10 smackaroos...
It is so easy. Here's the telephone number. Get a pen or a pencil or a crayon or a piece of chalk and write it down. 474-6422. 474-6422. That's our satellite clinic in town. They'll make an appointment for you.
Oh, I love that clinic.
It's a great little clinic. Yeah. You can also get all your vaccinations done there and microchipping every Friday.
You can also go to the motor vehicles division next door.
Absolutely. And then go check out what's on sale at Kohl's, grab a Bloomin' Onion at the Outback, and head on home. Well, that takes care of our corporate underwriting for this second.
Not.
But the clinic is great. We have a really unbelievable staff. Never let it be said that low cost means low quality. They are superb techs. Your big brown dog, whether he's brown or black or white, will be in good hands. And we'll prevent more of them from ending up in the situation that the saddest of them end up in.
I'd like to see the application. Dog, do you not know who your grandparents were?
Are you big? Yes. Are you brown? Sort of. Excellent. You qualify. But they're good dogs, you know. They just
And those 39-pound dogs are going to say, I'm just going to eat a few little burgers
extra
today.
If you're a 39-pound dog, down a couple of White Castles before you come down and you'll be in good shape. I think we can, if you're a 39-pound dog, I suspect there's a good chance that a tech might put a toe on the scale when you come in. That's what we do for you brown dogs. We
Big
love
brown,
you.
Whoever this anonymous donor is, you rock.
This is the donor. I'm not going to tell you their name, but they're one of our most undying, unrelenting supporters, and they constantly are coming up with really amazing programs. This is the same person who funded our pit stop program, which was free spay and neuter for all pits and pit mixes.
How did that go?
It went great. We did tons, and the donor has now sort of expanded it into the big brown dog, so the pits and pit mixes fall into big brown dog still. You can still get your pit or pit mix spayed or neutered for free and make $10 while you're at it. If you want to fold that $10 into a vaccination to get them street legal, we will absolutely do that for you as well.
And or if they're already vaccinated, you can spend just another $10 and have your dog microchipped.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you wanted to donate it back to the shelter, of course, nobody would argue with you. It's tough times for nonprofits in our little town.
That's true.
The other thing, we have so many things going on, Mary Charlotte, we're never going to be able to talk about them all. But this one I want to urgently talk about, because if there is one thing as plentiful right now as big brown dogs, what do you think it is? Give me one guess.
Ants?
Close. Guinea pigs. Over the last 2 weeks, we have had, I swear to God, 15 guinea pigs surrendered to the shelter. Not 15 all at once from one
They were
family.
Knocking over the small children?
They were like stunt doubles for the Trouble with Tribbles episode. We have so many of them.
Yes. Now that the G-Force movie is over.
I'm hoping that, you know, they don't combine into like one large fighting guinea pig like Voltron or some of those other cartoons. But so far they're staying small and separate and discreet. But we have so many of them. And if you are inclined to get a starter pet, a little dog, once I heard somebody call guinea pigs puppy seeds, then we've got them, and we'll give you a pair for the low, low adoption fee of $15, because we desperately need to find these guinea pigs home. And they're cute. They're unbelievably cute. They have long hair. They look very, very sort of strange and adorable, but 15 is a lot of guinea pigs
That's
to have at
the
shelter.
Pigs.
We're actually putting them in cages in offices right now, just so we can find room for them. And the first part of the day, it's really cute when they're going squee, 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 but you realize they need a little more interaction than I'm giving them.
Oh, so they're social pets.
They're very social pets, and if you handle them, they become very handleable.
You can't. Can you let them run around the house?
Sure, but not if you have terriers.
Not if you have terriers. I'm saying a terrier-free household. But do they poop all over your rugs and stuff?
If you have rugs, I'm fairly certain they will, yes. I would recommend if you have them run around your house.
So this is better for a rugless house. They won't poop on the floor.
I think a little tooling around on the floor will be just fine. It will make them very happy. But I suspect for their own good, they probably ought to end up in their cage at the end of the day. We have lots and lots of info on how to keep guinea pigs. There's tons of great stuff on the net for guinea pig lovers and how to live with them, live with guinea pigs. I don't know how you live with a guinea pig lover. But we've got them, and they're adorable. You can check out our website to see who is at the shelter. We're getting more of them up. That sudden flood makes it a little hard to get them all on the computer right away. But you can check out our website, sfhumanesociety.org, and see some of these guinea pigs. And you can even see some of the big brown dogs that are there waiting for homes.
Aww. You know what the Quechua word is for guinea pig?
What?
Cuy. And you know why? Because of the sound they make?
Oh, that's very cute. That's exactly what they sound like. I did a Flickr search for guinea pig photos last night, and the North American guinea pig photos are all cute living guinea pigs. But I noticed with horror that guinea pigs are a staple diet in many South American countries and saw many dishes prepared with guinea pig.
I wouldn't do this north of the equator, but I have eaten them in South America.
It's a little hard to resist trying the cultural wares of a people, but...
They taste like chicken.
We highly encourage you, if you adopt one of our guinea pigs, not to barbecue it. They will be much happier living with you than living in you.
They will be happier.
It's a much longer relationship.
That's such a good point. So guinea pigs, well, it's also a wonderful pet for children.
I think it's a, you know, we talk about starter pets, and I hate to objectify the animal, but if you want to really start learning how to care for an animal, how to be really responsible, and an animal that you can really have a relationship with, my apologies to the herpetologists out there, but snakes, spiders, these are pets that I tend to think you don't have much of an interactive relationship with. They're ornamental.
Do you have spiders pets. In the shelter?
Yes, but not on purpose.
Okay.
They help us have not so many bugs in the shelter. But guinea pigs, they are an interactive pet. You know, they recognize people. It's clear that they can interact and have affection and preferences and make choices. They are a very good pet for kids to start with. I had guinea pigs. They were one of my very first pets when I was a kid. My parents cut holes in a bookshelf that they turned on the side, so they had this little area they could run through. It was wonderful.
It was like a maze.
It exactly was.
That's so creative.
They were lovely, 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 lovely animals. So if you're teaching your kiddos about how to be responsible with a small and compact-sized pet, these guinea pigs are the way to go.
That's terrific. There's one of the things that I really appreciate about Ulla Peterson's work, the Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary, is that she really encourages people to see animals as family members rather than as
Absolutely.
Commodities.
Absolutely.
And so whatever pet you get, it's really important to think of it as a lifelong commitment, lifelong to that pet.
Absolutely.
And if you are older, or even if you're not, should the pet outlive you, that you've made plans and arrangements for it.
It is really important to make plans and arrangements for your animals. We get a lot of older animals into the shelter. We've just started a program that I'm very excited about called our Hospice Foster Program. A lot of people are not able or do not make plans for their older animals. And when they run into health issues or they themselves perish or get very close to the end of their lives, we end up with a lot of senior animals who it's very, very hard to find homes for because they are in the end stages of their life. So with our new Hospice Foster Program, we're placing these senior animals in homes where they can gently live out their remainder days with these incredibly caring volunteers who will give their time. And it's not convenient. Animals toward the end of their life become incontinent. They have a lot of medical needs. But they don't need any less a loving home to be in and be a part of.
I have taken care of a couple of geriatric pets, some of whom were mine, some of whom weren't. And it can be very intense in the last couple of days of their life.
Yes, absolutely.
But the last couple of months or years of their life, it's fine.
Absolutely.
They don't need such long walks.
This is very true.
They don't need that much food. I know somebody who is elderly and who was saying, you know, I'd love to get a dog, but I can't walk it. You could foster an older pet who isn't going to be around that long.
Absolutely. We also have our Seniors for Seniors program for animals over 5 and people over 60. We waive the adoption fees for the animal because that's a great match. If you have a senior person who's perhaps not as active and a senior animal who's perhaps not as active, man, this is a match made in heaven. We couldn't bear to charge an adoption fee for that. That's somebody that these two need to just get together. But the end of life is definitely a process, and in a certain way, the animals need us more at that point. It seems to me that it would be a terrible, terrible thing to be at that point in your life and be alone. So with the Hospice Foster Program and the Seniors for Seniors Program, we're doing our best to make sure. We do a good job at beginning of life and middle of life, and we're making sure that we're really there for the animals at end of life as well.
And that's another thing that people of all ages can learn. I think I had some neighbors who got to know all three of my dogs at the time a few years ago, and the woman had two little children, and my dachshund Dugan died. And later she told me that was their first experience of death, and it was an opportunity for mom to teach the kids about the whole life cycle.
The hospice volunteer has to be a pretty special person because it is not an easy thing to do. And it's, as you said, it's very intense. It's not just the body shutting down. It's the mind sort of starting to stray. It's watching a creature say goodbye to its existence. But that is a powerful thing, and that is a pretty unbelievable gift to give to an animal.
So to summarize, Brown Dog Bonanza. How long is this going on?
As long as we have funding, we're going to keep it going. We're going to run it through the end of September, I believe, and see how it's going. And if it's tooling along, we're going to keep it going. We'll spay or neuter your
Bonanza.
Big brown dog for free and pay you $10. Call our clinic at 474-6422.
And then guinea pigs
up the wazoo. 15 guinea pigs right now. If you want to adopt a pair,
you should have a room called the wazoo.
And we can put all the guinea pigs and the gerbils and the hamsters and the ferrets in there. We tend to get them en masse.
But not together, perhaps.
No, be careful about your pairing of the guinea pigs. We will certainly help you with that. But the deal with that is we'll basically waive the adoption fee for the second one. So it's $15 to adopt a sweet and cute pair of guinea pigs.
Right.
Hospice foster program.
You might want to make sure they don't mate. You might want to get two females or something.
That's where the shelter will be happy and eager to assist you. We certainly do not need
not
more guinea pigs.
An anonymous donor doing a spay-neuter program for guinea pigs.
No, little brown guinea pig bonanza? No, not yet. And God willing, we will not need a donor to do that.
And seniors for seniors?
Seniors for seniors. If you are over 60 and you have cottoned on to an animal over 5 at the shelter, we will waive the adoption fee and send you home. If you want to be a part of or find out more about our hospice foster program, you can email foster@sfhumanesociety.org. And as always, to see all of our adoptable animals, check out our calendar, see what's going on, www.sfhumanesociety.org.
Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, Mary Charlotte. I look forward to it all month.
Yeah, so we will see you in September, probably around Labor Day or something like that.
That sounds excellent.
Excellent. So we're going to take a little break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Jeannie Michaela and Samara Neely Cohen. They are with the Umbrella Hat Productions. Jeannie is actor and Samara is co-artistic director and actor. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you are engaged in a couple of different productions. Santa Fe Theater Festival, which is opening, a week from today?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about these two productions, Iphigenia and Other Daughters and Proof.
Iphigenia and Other Daughters is a retelling of the classic myth of Iphigenia, and it was written in response to the Iraq War in the late 90s. And it's a beautiful, poetic play.
What was the original written in response to?
Well, the original, we don't know what it was written in response to. Probably the many Greek wars. But Iphigenia is about a daughter who is sacrificed by her father so that thousands of men can go off to war.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I read the Iliad.
Yeah. And what happens is the mother murders the father when he returns home. And that's actually where a lot of scholars think stabbing in the back comes from.
Ah, very interesting. So you, Janie, are in this play.
You're in Proof, actually. And Proof is a play about a young woman who is dealing with the death of her father and her own brilliance. She's very, very gifted mathematically, and there's some question as to how gifted she is, and her father also had mental illness, and is she crazy, and her family relationships with her sister, and it's an excellent play, and I play her sister, Claire.
What does Proof refer to?
Proof refers to a mathematical proof that the young woman writes and
or could have written.
Could have written, that's right. It's sort of the whole play, and we're not sure if she wrote it or if her father wrote it.
Ah. So not only is it a proof, but they have to prove who made the proof.
Exactly.
So tell us more about Umbrella Hat Productions.
Well, Umbrella Hat Productions is a New York-based company. There are 13 of us here from New York City. I grew up half-time in Santa Fe. I did SFPA, and I worked with Jinx Junkin when I was a kid.
Santa Fe Performing Arts.
Exactly. And I always wanted to come back to Santa Fe to do theater. So when we formed this production company, that was my goal.
So this is, it's wonderful, actually. I mean, it's wonderful to have every level of theater, from children's theater to community theater and so on, but it's very refreshing to have professional actors doing something here in town, especially who live here.
Yes, we have a half Santa Fe, half New York cast.
And I must say, too, as an actor who is based out of Santa Fe, I've been a union member since I was a child, and it's really wonderful to be able to work on a show that is an equity show, that is paying the actors, that does pay into our union and health and pension. It really makes a difference for us.
So these two plays are opening next weekend, the 13th through the 23rd, at El Museo Cultural. Bunch of wonderful actors and directors and so on. People can find out more information and call 986-3910. That's 505-986-3910. They can also go to umbrellahat.org on the internet. Anything else before we go?
Just we're so happy to be in Santa Fe, and we're excited to launch the Santa Fe Theater Festival this year.
So these two plays are running simultaneously?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so people can check the website for actual showtime so you know which play you're going to. And if you want to go to both, so much the better.
Right.
Jeannie Michaela and Samara Neely-Cohn, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back in just a moment with Robert Knott. Stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor, is that right? Is that what you are? Of the Pasa Tiempo?
Yeah, I still got that title.
Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican, and he's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts, and he's also the education beat boy.
That's right. I'm working on it. It's a slow segue, but I'll be doing more of that once school opens. Thank you for plugging that.
That's right, at the New Mexican.
And since we double-crossed our listeners last week by telling them that Bill Hutchinson and I would team up for cowboy music at 9 o'clock on the musical anthologist's Cabinet of Blunders, which is a great show.
I came back to apologize that we didn't do it.
We're doing it tonight, 9 o'clock.
Oh, Bill Hutchinson, why look, you're sitting in front of me.
I came back.
You came back.
So you can check out the Cowboy Songs episode of the Anthologist Cabinet tonight at 9 on this very station. Robert and I will be co-hosting.
Live.
Hey, you know what? I forgot to mention when the very nice women from Umbrella Hat Productions were on, is that their shows are Pay What You Can on August 16th. Have you heard of this Umbrella Hat Theater Company?
I have. I have a piece in next Friday's Pasa about it. And, yeah, they are having Pay What You Wish Sundays.
I did notice that one of the Umbrella Hat women had a very large hat on.
I know. It was almost as big as an umbrella.
Interesting coincidence.
Coincidence? I think not.
I think not indeed.
But check this out. Richard Rhodes, who is the Pulitzer Prize winning author of The Making of the Atomic Bomb and Dark Sun, he's an absolute giant in terms of the history of the whole issue of the atomic bomb. He is giving a talk and presenting his play Reykjavik on Tuesday, August 18th. Somebody called and said, let's get him on the air. And so maybe we will have him on the air before that. But that's Tuesday, August 18th at 7. And that's with Umbrella Hat.
Excellent. Let me see. What do
What's
we got?
What's going on this
weekend,
this
coming week? We got
the Mountain
Men
downtown.
There's always something downtown during the summer. You
can't
get parking.
Santa Fe Bandstand.
Well, that's during the week, and we'll talk about that in a minute since I will be there. I'll be there, Mary Charlotte. I'll be there. Wednesday night, I'm
Whenever
gonna be on the plaza.
Whenever I call, you'll be there.
What was the song we needed Robert to sing when we were talking earlier?
Oh, you were saying the animals, the big brown dogs, are so lovable. So livable.
That's right. We needed a big brown dog.
Their beauty is just unforgivable. No.
You need a big brown dog song. This is what I'm reduced to on the show.
There was a string of beautiful adjectives. They're brown and cute and lumbering and dorky and smart and kind and friendly.
It's not reduced to. We needed somebody with your expertise and your repertoire.
I think it would be a step up.
This is it. Every time there's two against one, I end up being the odd man out. It's bad enough I'm the odd man out when it's just you and me. All right, I'll think of a good dog song with adjectives to go out on the show. So this weekend, it's the Mountain Men. They're going to be downtown. They're going to be dressed up in gnarly clothes and looking, you know, like they are out to trap something. They'll be doing their antics downtown around the Palace of the Governor's Courtyard. I believe there's going to be a lot of reenactments geared towards the kids, so I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of fun. Bring the kids downtown to the Palace of the Governors Saturday and Sunday for the Mountain Man Rendezvous. And it could even be today. I'm going to do a quick check on that. It is, in fact, today. Yay, 9 to 4:30. Let me give you a phone number, 476-5200. And within this scheme of Mountain Men, Johnny D. Boggs, local author, is going to be speaking at 2 o'clock Sunday at the New Mexico History Museum on Mountain Men in Literature and Pop Culture, as well as movies, I think. That's by museum admission. What mountain men do you know about, Bill?
I know about Daniel Boone. Does he count as a mountain man?
Yeah, him and Gabby Hayes are two of the most famous.
And I know about the mountain men that I see down on the plaza all the time. I don't know if this
Those
is the
guys,
same mountain man.
I know. Men. One of them's Doc. I pick him up sometimes and give him a ride.
They look both amazing and terrifying all at the same
They're
time.
They're nice guys. I give Doc a ride sometimes. He's like, I'm the last of the mountain men. I was the first of the mountain men. Doc, why do they call you Doc? Because I'm a doctor. I say, I got a little splint on my finger. Don't ask for free advice. Keep driving.
When the doctor's only tool is a Bowie knife, I sometimes think it's probably good to keep on trucking.
I would be nice to them if I were you. They are good people.
What, you didn't see the duct tape?
All I'm going to say is that I'm nice to everybody, especially people with big knives and lots of clothes on.
I know. It's also
what are we
fun
talking
to be
about?
Nice to people with no clothes on, especially if they're women. The Santa Fe Opera is continuing through the week with a lot of different operas. The Elixir of Love, La Traviata, the one you like, John Giovanni. I think there's another performance.
No, I like La Traviata.
Yeah, that one. It's La Traviata. It's Verdi, right? La Traviata?
Yeah.
Okay. Santa Fe Backstage Opera Tours continuing at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can go check it out. Call the opera at 986-5900. Check out their website if you like opera. If you're more into the Hoi Polloi of Society, downtown Santa Fe Bandstand Concert Series, 6 o'clock every night free, noon every day free. No offense, but not as much fun to dance at noon because it's hot, but at 6 o'clock you can go down there and you can dance. And on the 12th, da-da-da.
But also August is cooling off, so it won't be quite so bad.
Yeah, especially if it rains. Outside In Productions presents on the bandstand Justice Rock and Roll at noon. And then Roberto Mondragon and Mariachi Buenaventura, an all-female ensemble.
Mondragon.
Yeah, that guy too. They're going to be on the plaza at 6 o'clock, and the New Mexicans are going to have a little booth down there, and I'm going to be there. So if those all-female ensembles are doing anything that's, inspiring, I'm more than happy to dance with anybody that comes along and says, how about it?
Will you be doing autographs again?
No, I don't sign autographs. I've only done that a couple times. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. So, 6 o'clock, come out if you want to meet me. Steve Terrell will be there, KSFR DJ. And, also, he's been with KSFR, I'm going to say...
A long time.
20 years. At least 18 years.
He is so smart and so awesome and so talented.
All of us, and a nice guy and a great writer. He's going to be doing his show tonight following your show, Bill.
One of the highlights of my week is that Steve comes in to do one of his shows after my show, and I get that 10-minute crossover
that nice
with the great
overlap.
Steve Terrell.
Yeah.
You had the New York Umbrella Hat production people on, but let's go ahead and say that next Thursday at 8 o'clock they kick off at El Museo Cultural with Ellen McLaughlin's drama Iphigenia and Other Daughters?
Yeah, she was saying Iphigenia, but
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's an interesting play. I did read it. My piece will run next Friday in Paso Tiempo about their two-week residency here, which includes staged readings, as you mentioned, and a burlesque show a week from Friday, which we're all going to go to. It's at 10 o'clock, which means we're going to miss Steve Terrell, but we won't worry about that now. Also Thursday night, Handy Dandy opens at SFPA, Santa Fe Performing Arts. It's William
Gibson's. I had them on the other day. That's going to be terrific. I can't wait to go.
Did you read the script?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I read some of it.
Oh, I see. But that's a 7:30. 984-1370 if you're interested in that. Jonathan Richards and Lois Viscoli, two of the best actors in town, will be teaming up for the show.
And Richard Block, KSFR's own Richard Block director.
That's good. Art openings
you
tonight.
You betcha.
You oughta. There's about 30 of them. Check out the PASA calendar, page 68. And among those people having art openings is Center for Contemporary Arts is doing Material Semantics. And I love it when people do some
semantics antics. Rhymes with antics.
That's what I was thinking. It's Mixed Media Sculpture by Stephen Deo, DEO, reception 5 to 7. Gerald Peters is doing the Cubist Impulse in American Art, which is good because we should all know how the Cubans influence us. It's a group show of early 20th century artists, reception 5 to 7, bound to be some cigars.
Did you say Cubist?
See, I thought he said Cubist Impulse, but I think he said Cuban Influence.
Well, that's the Cuban influence and a Cubist impulse.
The two things are not related. Young people who are listening,
you're going to
be led astray.
Why would I lead people astray? I'm talking about Cubism.
I think you're going to get twice as many people there. It
Cubism,
seems like a benefit.
Cubism and Cuba don't have anything to do with each other.
What are you talking about? Where did Cubism come from?
It came from France.
What are you so insulting the French for? Those people like Jerry Lewis. What's wrong with them? How could Cubism come from France?
Because it's all about cubes, and it was invented by Picasso and Braque around the same time in the first years of the 20th century.
And everybody knows that Castro outlawed cubes early on.
Castro wasn't even born yet.
Such vehemence when you give me an art lecture.
You love it.
I like it when you sometimes fill me in on stuff, but it's another thing when vexation is throughout the subtone of your analysis here. All right, let's go to William Shearborn Gallery. Listen to this. Bill and me definitely have to go see this show. Opens tonight at 5 o'clock. Cold Beer, Beautiful Girls.
I'm in.
Me too. That's at
5
to 7 at William Shearborn Gallery, 129 West San Francisco Street, 989-8020. Victoria Price has a show, Tom Berg with Common Objects. Warehouse 21 has a show, The Future of the Future, in which Site Santa Fe's Young Curators juried show of paintings and photographs is put on with a reception, including dance and music, 5 to 9 tonight at Warehouse.
I love seeing these young curator things. I mean, these kids make very brave and kind of amazing choices.
They do. They're ditto, absolutely.
They're not weighed down by knowing what cubism is.
Or isn't.
I just think they know what Cubans are.
Actually, they probably do know what Cubism is. Hey, today at Garcia Street Books, tomorrow at Garcia Street Books, from noon to 1, Joshua Cooper Ramo is going to be talking about his book, The Age of the Unthinkable, Why the New World Disorder Constantly Surprises Us and What We Can Do About It. And this is a book that is actually on the discussion list of the Council on, the book club or whatever, of the Council on International Relations. It's I actually read a whole bunch of it because we were supposed to do an interview, and then didn't schedule it properly, whatever. Anyway, he's going to be here, and if you're interested in kind of the grand sweep of geopolitical thinking that's happening by a fairly young person, this guy is actually, believe it or not, a protege of Henry Kissinger. So if you're into that kind of thing, that's Garcia Street Books, tomorrow from 12 to 1.
Excellent. Now, we were talking about Wednesday night Santa Fe Bandstand, and I'll be on the plaza along with Steve Terrell. That goes to about 8 o'clock. Then you can walk over to La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda, because I was there last night, and listen to the Bill Hearn Trio do Honky Tonk. I mean, you want to dance to that stuff. 7:30 to 11, no cover. Then you can go over to Milagro 139 that same night at 10 and see Nosotros, which is a great Latin swing group.
Yay.
They're playing to past midnight. So Wednesday night, you could dance all night. That kind of happened to me last night with way too much beer, I'm sorry to say. Wait, last night wasn't Wednesday, was it? What night was last night?
No, last night was Thursday. Would you miss a whole day? You were so hungover?
Oh, my God. Okay, so, the good thing news is he's there Thursday nights, too. I hope he is because he was there last night. Yeah, he is. He's there Thursday. This is the problem with coming on your show Friday mornings. I start my weekend at Thursday nights. And I come in here half the time, you know, drag myself out of bed, I don't even get to eat, and I show up here to try to inner dialogue with you, and you outsmart, outwit, and outbite me every single time. Having said this, it's Bill Hearn on Wednesday and Thursday nights. I know that much. And on Wednesday nights, just as a side note, because now I know my nights, I was sober, I saw the Monster Quest that were after Sasquatch. Now, here's my question. They went out. No, don't make the faces. The people can't see you. They went out and found a pretty good proof that the footage of the Sasquatch from the 60s was accurate. These guys know what they're talking about. But the problem is they went searching for Sasquatch in the middle of a storm. And this is what happened when they went after the Loch Ness. A storm came up. They said, now we have to call it quits, and they leave. It's the end of the show. Why would you set out to get the monster during a storm? Pick a nice day in July. This is what I don't like about these shows. There's always something that gets in the way. What do you make of this?
I think it's got to be manufactured drama. I mean, if you can't really have a monster, a meteorological dramatic ending seems a lot better than, well, nope, nothing.
Let me ask you this.
Please, anything.
Do you think that professional wrestling is real?
It's the only sport I place bets on. What do you mean it ain't real?
Okay, here's a listing from Taos. Tonight, August 7th, Rick Collington, it's a summer writer series. A short concert and book reading for SOMOS, which is the Society of the Muse of the Southwest. Rick Collington is a novelist. He will read from the new novel in his popular Guadalupe series, Madewell Brown, and then Rene Gregorio, poet, co-founder of Tres Chicas Books, will read from a new poetry collection, Drenched, and then Duo Guadalupe, which is Roberto Capocchi and Ellen Chavez de Leitner, who've been on this show before, will play Music of Spain. It's a guitar and violin duo. And that's at the Taos Art Plaza tonight at 7:30. So some of our happy listeners from the north can check it out.
Excellent.
They've got a great... You can Google this SOMO, Society of the Muse in the Southwest, because they've got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, let's say it's Saturday and you want to do some stuff outdoors and you're just not ready for the mountain men. The Santa Fe Artist Market runs from 7 to noon at Market Street across from REI in the rail yard. The Santa Fe Farmers Market runs over in that area from 7 to noon on Saturday. And the Society of Artists Group Show is in the First National Bank at 62 Lincoln Avenue downtown from 9 to 5:30. That same day, Saturday, 4 o'clock, Alto Park, which is over on Alto Street, Wise Fool New Mexico is doing its Stilt-a-thon. Games, music, and stilt walking. You're going to benefit Wise Fool New Mexico's youth and outreach programs. 992-2588. I believe it is absolutely free. A lot of outdoors events on Saturday.
Did you ever have stilts when you were a kid?
I tried stilts. They didn't work for me. I tried roller skates. They didn't work for me. I was so uncoordinated. And oddly enough, one day my father made me these two plywood wings. I remember this. And he told me to go up on the hill on a really windy day. And I had to run like that character we were talking about last week, Icarus, or whatever the guy was.
Icarus,
yeah.
And I started waving my arms, and I actually went up in the air about 5 feet. And then I collapsed and rolled and broke the wings. And he said, don't tell Mom.
I just don't know whether or not to believe that story.
It's
I have
absolutely
to be honest
true. My father was a carpenter, and he made me these wings and wanted me to fly.
Was his name Daedalus?
No, his name wasn't Daedalus. I would know my father's name. A lot of things I don't know when I come on the show. I'm happy to ask. This is why I'll be a good education reporter. I'll be asking questions.
So
I'm not afraid.
I would have loved to have had wings.
Did he then put you in a car and roll it down the hill into the river?
No, but the days when I was a kid, you were allowed to be a kid. You could go sled riding and you could play in the woods and the ticks weren't going to get you. Nobody was going to abduct you.
I do think this is a huge difference. You were allowed to hurt yourself when you were a kid, I was a kid.
I was absolutely allowed to hurt myself.
But I feel like kids now, they do hurt themselves, but they're not allowed to hurt themselves in quite the same way I was.
Unless they're skateboarding over there and they scare the hell out of you.
There have been lawsuits, so you can't even have jungle gyms anymore. All
the
stuff that we played on. No, this is it's a problem. And then they wonder why kids get addicted to video games. It's because they're not allowed to go outside.
Exactly. I know it. There's not. I mean, it's like danger out there. Whereas in our day, it was a lot of fun.
Danger was how you learned about the world.
And also the extent of the danger is so overestimated.
Yes, I read an interesting statistic that kidnappings are not any greater statistically now in the beginning of the 21st century than they were at the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And yet we're petrified. We have a greater sense of terror that inhabits us and governs every move we
make.
No,
it's just, it's the sensationalistic TV shows.
Say, what time is it?
And somebody was just telling me, in fact, on an interview that I'm going to air in about a week or two, that the greatest danger to children is in the home. So if you want them to be safe, let them go out and catch frogs.
Listen to the three of us.
None of us have kids. We're telling people how to grow. I don't think that's a good idea.
Parenting advice from non-parents.
Yeah, from non-parents.
Public radio.
We have dogs. We let them go out
that's
on leashes.
Right.
We have dogs.
We let them off their leashes. Hey, the National Hispanic Cultural Center, for
in
those
Albuquerque.
Of you in the southern part of our listening area, is they have put me on their mailing list, and so now I know all the events that are going on. And today at 6 o'clock, there is the opening of a group show in the National Hispanic Cultural Center's community art gallery called Naturalmente. And artists doing all sorts of natural forms and organic materials in a diverse range of media.
Southwest Seminars has an interesting lecture as well on Monday night. Listen to this. Landscapes of Fraud, Mishim Tucumcari, The Baca Flow, and The Betrayal of the Odham by Thomas Sheridan, who's an anthropologist from the University of Arizona. Hotel Santa Fe, 1501 Paseo de Peralta. You got to pay to get in, 466-2775. I love the titles of these lectures, even though I haven't got a clue what that means.
That sounds fascinating.
Why?
Why? Because I think frauds and fakes are fascinating.
But how does this tie in with Mishim Tucumcari, The Baca Flow, and The Betrayal of the Odham?
Well, we're going to have to go to the lecture and find out.
What do you know about the Odham?
Absolutely nothing.
What about the Baca Flow? Is that one of the things we see in a hysterical parade every year?
Absolutely it is, but it's not real.
What?
It's like La Llorona. It's a float that comes when you look in the mirror and say its name three times.
Huh. That's just amazing.
There was a good South Park about that.
There was. I remember it.
Juan C.D. Flamenco Theater Company continues at Maria Benita's Cabaret up at the Lodge of Santa Fe, 750 North.
They're very good.
St. Francis, there you have it.
And Latin Lounge this Sunday featuring salsa music at El Farol. Show starts at 7. And that is from, I believe, Nacho Mendez.
Feel like going to Chimayo? The Chimayo Museum is beautiful. I've been there. Exhibits about Chimayo's history and culture, 11 to 3, Tuesday through Saturday. Embudo Station Music has David Yordan Jazz Guitar tonight, 5 o'clock through about 8:30. On Saturday, he's got Jed Zimmerman up there at Embudo. Española has the Mission Museum y Convento. It's a replica of the 1944 University of New Mexico excavation of the original church built by the Spanish at the San Gabriel settlement back in the 1590s. Head on up there. You can find all this stuff in the Paso Tiempo calendar. You want to go to Los Alamos? You're often talking about those concerts up there.
Right.
Rick Estrin and the Nightcaps tonight, 7 o'clock. Julie Stewart and the TBA band doing rock at 11 o'clock Saturday. The Los Alamos Big Band doing Glenn Miller's type stuff at 2 Saturday. South by Southwest doing country at 7 Saturday. Up at Ashley Pond, Central Avenue, Los Alamos. You can also go to the Los Alamos Historical Museum, the Bradbury Science Museum, and the Art Center at Fuller Lodge. There's a lot of interesting stuff. Madrid has some openings this weekend. Head on down there. Metallo Gallery, Spirit and Art Gallery, Tapestry Gallery, all doing new art openings.
Tapestry?
Yeah, Tapestry.
They show tape?
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, this weekend at the Geist Cabaret at Pranzo Italian Grill, David Geist tonight from 6 to 9 on piano and vocals, and Sunday as well. And then tomorrow night, Saturday, he is also on piano with vocalist John Mason.
Pretty cool.
And that's good stuff if you like Broadway and that type of singing and cabaret shows, songs and stuff.
Everybody dance.
If you like Broadway.
That's right. Student production of Your Good Man Charlie Brown at 7.
Which you love.
Yeah, well, I like some of it. Some of it's overrated.
You know, speaking of Broadway.
Yes.
Disembodied voice.
And cabaret.
Speaking of cabaret, thank you. I almost forgot that we have a ticket giveaway. Patricia Rosette, the great opera singer, who is in the star of The Letter, which is in the Santa Fe Opera this year, which we've talked about in many different ways here on this program, is doing a cabaret evening at the Lenzic this Sunday, I believe. Mary Lynn, what are the details?
Sunday, August 9th at 8 p.m. at the Lenzic.
And we have a ticket giveaway to what? The third caller?
All right.
The third caller who calls 428-1382, 505-428-1382, gives their name to Mary Lynn, and you'll score a pair of tickets to this. It should be great. She loves that music. And we had a conversation on the radio the other day, and she said, you know, you won't hear any high notes, but you'll hear some low notes. And as a soprano, she doesn't get to sing low notes, which is interesting. So she gets to sing them when she does this cabaret-style music from the American Songbook.
That will be lovely.
Lovely.
Let's say you like antiques and you want to go to Albuquerque.
I do like antiques and I do want to go to Albuquerque.
Well, the Lujan Center at the Expo New Mexico Fairgrounds has the Great Southwestern Antique Show. More than 200 dealers. A sneak preview is today, 2 to 7. Otherwise, the show is 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday. It's right off Central Avenue Northeast. A two-day pass is not too expensive. Ages 12 and under, no charge. Here's a phone number, 505-255-4054. What time is it now?
It is 8:54, and I got an email about these two cute red heeler girl dogs who are a little over a year old. And they've been a little bit neglected, but they have wonderful spirits. They're very affectionate. They're very bright. And they are in very good shape. And they are available for you. They're basically perfect dogs
Heelers
who have not
beautiful.
Been treated very well, and they need a home. Yeah,
have they been neglected or abused?
Just neglected.
That's bad. When I got
a little bit neglected.
When I got Jem, my blue heeler, she was neglected but not abused, and so it's taken her a long time. But she's adorable, and the way she tries to herd the cats using her rear end is just adorable.
They great, make great hiking and walking buddies, heelers.
Yeah, she's just great about that.
And the person who has them will drive them to their new happy home, and you can call her. Her name appears to be Susan, and her number is area code 575-638-0149.
Tonight, Sabor, Cuban music, 9:30, El Farol, gotta pay to get in.
Oh, Cubist music?
Tonight.
What our listeners don't know is that I'm not here for fun. I'm here because Dal has asked me to break up the fights that keep coming up between Robert and Mary Charlotte.
It's not you.
The bus tapes, Anti-Folk, 6:30, 2nd Street Brewery. Tonight, Charles Tischner, piano, Vanessi, 7 o'clock, no cover. Tonight,
yay.
The Robbie Jude Band, 9 o'clock at Blue Tower Lounge. There's lots of music happening. Go support local musicians, including the Cubists, the Cubans.
The bus tapes, highly recommend, folks. Go see the bus tapes.
Oh, I've been meaning to go see the bus tapes forever. Yes.
You take the bus tape.
And Tropic of Capricorn, this Sunday from 2 to 4, is having an art opening and reception called Alchemy, a Botanical Perspective. Etched Copper Botanicals by Sanford McGee, and the show is on display through the 15th of August.
Seems worth going to see for the title alone.
I know. Alchemy, a Botanical Perspective.
Sorry, I got to keep plugging myself. Tonight,
Tropic
9 o'clock,
Capricorn.
Bill
what?
Hutchinson's show. Tune in. I'll be there.
Well, you were going to do that last week, and then one of you
okay,
wasn't
feeling
well.
Okay, double cross, but we're doing it tonight.
I got sick. Robert and I, Cowboy Songs episode on the Anthologist Cabinet of Musical Marvels tonight at 9, this very station.
Including Dean Martin singing songs from Rio Bravo.
Hey, did you mention Ron Romanofsky, who is with Welcome to Bohemia? They are tonight live from 7 to 10 at the Lucky Bean in Rancho Viejo. Where's Rancho Viejo? Anyway.
Just right over there. Ron Romanofsky. It sounds like a superhero's secret identity name.
Dadu. He's the great accordionist.
Perfect.
For more information, 438-8999.
Santa Fe Chamber Music this week. Lots of art shows this week. Aspen Santa Fe at the Lenzic this week. Oh, and Roberta Flack coming to town in September. I can't wait.
No way.
Yes, I'm nuts about Roberta Flack. She and Dionne Warwick, man. When I was 12, what I wanted to do with them, even though I didn't know what to do, I felt the same way about Barbara Eden, and that never happened.
You know, if you sing one of her songs, I can say, don't give me so much flack.
I'll sing one of our songs as we get closer to September 4th. So are we doing this next week? You're taking a week off in August.
No, I'm not. We're doing it next week.
Okay. Ooh, I like that.
And
tonight, 9 o'clock, Cowboys.
Unusual cowboy songs and fun versions of traditional ones.
My friend went to karaoke at the Cowgirl on Monday night.
Yeah?
Said it was kind of fun.
I've done that. It is fun.
You should go. You can actually sing.
I did go. I wrote a story about it.
Oh. That's right. I knew that. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Barry Charlotte. KSFR is streaming live on the web.
You just light up on Bill's
here. You love having at KSFR.org. You can email me at the email address, radiocafe@ksfr.org. We are streaming on the web. No, I already said that. But we are...
But we're still streaming on the web.
We're still streaming 24/7. I'm also... I made a Facebook
cute guys
site.
In front of you and you can't say anything.
Facebook.com/radiocafe. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Thanks to Robert Knott, who's the best. Besides Bill Hutchison, who's the best.
Talk about arms and the men.
What'd you just say?
Nothing. I'm trying to help you out here.
Oh, I need all the help I can get.
Yes, let's get this off you. Please, undo those buttons.
Thanks to Mary...
work our way on
the Mary Lou LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by Local News by KSFAR's award-winning news team. And after that, he's just making all this stuff up. He closes his eyes and has his, like, fantasy underwear lingerie modeled ad in his mind and starts describing it.
The two of us are undressing you on the air. Don't pretend it's not happening.
And we're hours from safe harbor.
That's right. No, this is a family show, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's right. Forget it. That was a PG version. I'm sorry.
It was a PG version. I don't even know what we're talking about, except that we are broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, and you are Robert Knott. And Bill Hutchison joins us, and it's always great when he's here.
I have the most fun of my month when I get to do this with you guys.
It's a good time of the month.
Be kind to doggies. Take them in and love them.
Yes, doggies and guinea pigs and those wonderful red heelers and all sorts of good things. Have a wonderful weekend. Be happy, be peaceful, drive safely. You guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Hasta la vista.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Oh.